to chapter 4, verse number 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, the last few weeks, 2 weeks, I've talked about the Ten Commandments for teenagers. Just in case you wasn't here, I'm going to run over them again real quick and then finish these. The first Sunday night, I talked about this. Don't let your parents down. They brought you up. We had a great service that night when I talked about that. And I talked about respect for your mom and your dad. You should never talk back to your parents. You should never talk down to your parents. You should never talk bad about your parents to other people. They are your parents. You owe them respect. Amen? You may not always agree with them, but you are to respect. The Bible says it like this. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. And you're not in no position to drive no car, go out on no date, when you're acting like a little brat, back-talking your parents and your mom and dad. Say amen right there. And then I talked about the second commandment was, be smart and obey. You'll give orders yourself someday. It's not going to be long. You're going to be bus workers and bus drivers and Sunday school teachers and preachers and evangelists. So if you obey now, you'll reap that one of these days. I've talked about number 3, stop and think and you won't drink. Drinking is one of the dumbest things that a young person ever done in their life. Amen, mamas and daddies? That's right. I preach the Bible teaches us that we are to leave alcohol alone, period. Not by the thimble, not by the glass, not by the cup, not by the drink, not mixed drink, not pina coladas with alcohol in them. No alcohol as a beverage is your best policy. You can't handle it, I can't handle it, nobody can handle it. It starts wrapping a string around you and it'll ruin your life. Make up your mind right now that you're never ever going to drink alcohol. Ain't that right? Amen. Never, ever, ever. And if you have, ask God to forgive you and determine or not, you're never going to drink it again. Just remember this. Remember Brother Danny telling you this. You will never prosper drinking alcohol. It will always have a bad effect on you. You will always regret it. You'll never be made better. You'll always be made worse. It cannot help you. You hear me? It cannot help you. Drugs is the same way, of course. And we talked about that. And then last Sunday night, I talked about the next commandment was show off driving. Show off driving is juvenile. Don't act your age. When you finally get your license, don't get out here and act stupid with a car. A car, most of them weigh 3,000 to 4,000 pounds, maybe even more than that. Anywhere from along in that range, and you cannot take something weighing 3,500 pounds down the highway and play with it like a toy. It is not a toy. You are not in a video game. It is reality. It'll break every bone in your body. It'll break your neck. It'll cut your it'll splatter your guts on the highway. And a car is nothing to play with. You got to respect that vehicle when you get behind the wheel of that car. I talked a lot about that, and I talked about boys driving fast and girls driving dumb. And that's what happens a lot of times. Amen? And it's nothing personal, but you know, all girls are blonde when it comes to getting their license. Amen? That's right. Like them two blondes. You heard them two blondes? One of them's down there and one of them is on one side of the pond, the other's on the other side of the pond. And she said, how do you get to the other side? And the other one hollered back there and she said, you're on the other side, stupid! That's the way a girl is. That's the way a girl is sometimes when it comes to a car. I'm just kidding with you. I got 3 of them here tonight. But I tell you what, boy, when it comes, I've had them say, now what's this? What's this? Don't you? Boom, you know, that's the gas. What's this? Boom, that's the brake. So be careful. You're about them two blondes going down the road, and one of them said, look at that dog with one eye. And the other one went, I guess. That's the way they are. That's the way they are. That's the way they are. I heard that one the other day, and I'm not going to preach on this tonight, but they said, how did that joke go? It went like, you probably heard it, said these, a blonde, somebody was talking, it was 11 o'clock news or something like that, and they had a guy on there, and they said to this guy, the news was feminine. He's going to jump off this bridge and commit suicide. He's going to jump off, and they said, no, will he do it? Will he not do it? Will he do it? Will he not do it? And one of them said, I'll bet you he does it. And the blonde said, I bet you he don't either. They bet $20. I bet you he don't do it. So I bet you he does do it. I bet you he don't do it. I bet you he won't jump. And so they made the bet, and sure enough, guy jumped off and committed suicide. Said, okay, give me money. What made you so sure? She said, I can't figure that out. She said, I watched it at 10 o'clock, and he did it, but I didn't think he's stupid enough to do it again. But that's, you don't need to be driving no car. No. Show off driving is juvenile. Don't act your age. I told you how that a car, size little car, about like a Honda Civic or a Toyota, a Camry, something like that, 100 miles an hour, weighs 27 pounds on the highway. 27 pounds. You're just kind of skipping down the road. It'll kill you. It'll kill you just like that. The highest rate of death among teenagers is car accidents. And suicide is right behind that. That's what kills young people. And drugs and so forth and so on. And then I talked about choose a date fit for a mate. You remember that? I talked about don't date nobody until that you would not consider marrying. Don't say, Lord, I ain't no way I'd marry him. I just go out with him because he's fun. Listen, y'all, some of y'all, you could do a whole, you don't have to take the first old greasy redneck that comes down the road and follow. People say, but it's meant to be. I've never felt this way. All right, you can fall in love with any number of people. Whoever told you that there's only one right person in the world and that's the only person you're loving, that is not in the Bible. That is not true. There's any number of people that you can meet and fall in love with. Now, there is certain people that you meet together and stay together the rest of your life. That's great. That's the way God intended for it to be. But just because you feel goosebumps and just because you feel like, oh, this is the one, does not mean that's the one. I mean, you can feel that way about somebody else. Don't think you can. You say, but I can never, if I let him go, I'll never feel. That's junk. That's a bunch of bull. You can. Say amen, old people. That's right. And by the way, you can get over anybody, too. You say, well, I know he hates me, and I know he's mean to me, and I know he flirts with all the other girls, but I love him, I can't. Yeah, you can. You can get over it. You can get over it. You will get over it. And when you do get over it, you'll feel great. Feel like you got out of prison. It'll be a blessing to you. Amen. So, choose a date fit for a mate. And then I talked about don't go steady until you're ready. Remember that one? Don't go steady until you're ready. If you're wanting to clean up your room, and you ain't ready. If you won't respect your parents, you ain't ready. Don't go steady till you're ready. And I told you about all of that. Now, we're going to finish up tonight, and I've got one, I've got three, four tonight, and we'll go through these quickly, and we'll be done, okay? Commandment number 7. I've got 7, 8, 9, 10 here tonight. Commandment number 7, if you're writing down, here it goes. You listening? Here we go. Ditch dirty thoughts first, or they will ditch you. Ditch dirty thoughts first, or they will ditch you. Young people, let me tell you something tonight. You are what you eat, they say. You are what you eat. You know, they say you are what you eat. If you eat certain foods, you eat hamburger and French fries and all, then that's what you are. Of course, that's, our body is made out of stuff that we eat. Now, spiritually tonight, you are what you take in. Your soul and your personality is what you take in. You take in things two ways. You take it in through the eyes. You take it in through the ears. You got to be careful what you let go in your eyes and what you let go in your ears. Now, I'm telling you tonight, ditch dirty thoughts or they will ditch you. You hear me? Ditch dirty thoughts or they will ditch you. I've had men 30 and 35 and 40 and 45 and 50 sit down in my office and say, Brother Danny, I need you to pray for me. And I say, what's wrong? And they'll say, I hate to admit this to you. I said, it's all right. You ain't going to tell me nothing I ain't heard before. They said, but I'm embarrassed to tell you what my problem is. And I said, it's okay. You ain't going to tell me. You ain't going to shock me. I about quit saying that because every time I say that, somebody does shock me. But I said, you ain't going to tell me nothing I
they heard before, and they say this. They'll say, "Brother Danny, I can't control my thoughts. I cannot control my thoughts. All I think about is wicked, evil, ungodly stuff." They say, "I work or I go to school," and they say, "Every woman that walks by, I can't even look at her without thinking something dirty. Everything I say, it's always something ungodly, something evil." And Brother Danny, what's wrong with me? Am I a pervert? Am I something wrong with me? What in the world is wrong with me? And I ask them, I say, "Well, what?" And every time, every single time when we start talking, there's always back yonder when in their childhood they got a hold of some dirty books or they got to watching dirty movies and that stuff got in their head. And once that stuff gets in your head, it never ever leaves, and you fight with it for the rest of your life. Now, I know y'all are afraid to say amen right there, and I understand, but it's the truth, and it's the truth, and I know it's the truth. I've seen it over and over and over and over and over. That Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you think about it, and think about it, and think about it, it won't be long till you'll be doing it. And whatever you think about, you wind up doing. Say amen. You better ditch dirty thoughts. Now, let me tell you something tonight. I'm not saying because you have dirty thoughts, you're not saved. In the day we're living in, brother, if you don't live in the Word of God, and if you don't pray, if in the day we're living in, Lord, they can't sell dog food without putting a naked woman on it. I mean, they can't have a toothpaste commercial without having somebody come up and do a sex dance. I'm telling you, brother, our society is eat up. You know it, and I know it. Our society is eat up like cancer with perverted sex. And brother, you hear me tonight. If you young people have one chance in this world, it is to get in every church service you can get in, saturate your mind in the Word of God, and let the Word of God cleanse you, and turn that TV off when the dirty stuff comes on there. Don't listen to rap music that talks about filth. That's only hope you've got. And if you listen to dirty music and watch dirty music, you're going to have a dirty mind, and you're going to commit dirty acts. That's right. Some of y'all getting a little nervous now. You just hold your horses here a minute. I'm trying to keep some of these kids from ruining their lives. Pornography addiction is exactly the same as drug addiction. It can get a hold of you. It can get in your mind and in your heart where you think you've got to have it. You can't think of nothing else. You can't feel nothing else. And it'll pervert. Listen, you, some of you kids sitting right here this evening, your mind is already so perverted that it's doubtful you'll ever be able to join a natural relationship in marriage because your mind's so perverted, anything normal and natural probably will never be able to satisfy you. And that's sad. Amen. Ditch dirty thoughts or they'll ditch you. I'm not stupid. I know everybody in here has a fight with the devil and put dirty thoughts in your head. If there's a man in here said he ain't never had a dirty thought about a woman, don't come around me because you're probably a queer. Amen. Or you're a liar one. Say amen right there. Amen. God made you that way. It's natural. It's built in. It's you can have it. But I'm telling you what, brother, if we don't guard our minds, if we don't guard our eyes, if we don't guard our ears, you'll get so messed up that you won't be able to lead a normal life because them dirty thoughts will ditch you. Listen, them serial killers down yonder, like old Ted Bundy, that wound up killing them young boys, cutting their bodies open and eating their flesh. You know how that got started? It always starts with dirty thoughts. It always starts. You say, "Lord, preacher, I'd never do nothing like that." I know a lot of people that said, "I'd never do this, I'd never do that." When you take the first step, that's like saying, "I'd never stand on that floor." Now I take this step. "Oh, I'd never stand down on that floor." And then I take another step. "Oh, I'd never stand down there." You're headed that way. You may not wind up being a serial killer, but you're taking the same steps they took. I know curiosity killed the cat. I know, so you get on that internet at night, mom and daddy don't know it, or flipping them channels. And I know you say, "Well, I just want to see. I just want to see. I don't really want to live like that. I just want to see what they're doing. I just want to find out whether that curiosity is what got Adam and Eve kicked out of the Garden of Eden." And listen, if you don't guard your mind, listen, if you don't guard your thoughts, if you don't guard it, ditch dirty thoughts or they'll ditch you. Amen. That's right. Amen. I hate to be so plain tonight, but I'm telling you, there's some stuff you ought not to be watching on TV. And here's where your parents come in tonight. You ought not say, well, they're going to see it anyway. Lord, you better not let them see everything they want to see on TV. I'm telling you, brother, you cannot. A young man, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 20, a young man cannot sit on what TV of a bunch of females that are painted up like a prostitute, twisting their bodies around, showing their flesh, and it not mess his mind up. It is impossible. You say, well, it don't bother me. You're a queer. Or you're a lying one. Don't you sit there and tell me you're lying, brother, or this perverted one. I'm telling you, you cannot feed your mind on that stuff and it not mess your thoughts up. And that's why some of you can't think, that's why some of y'all even sit in church and think the dirtiest thoughts you can imagine about the girls in here, because you done got your mind polluted. And the only way you can cleanse it is by the Word of God and reading this book. Jesus said, now you're clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. You're washed in the water of the Word. Brother, I've got a dirty mind just like you do in my flesh. Say amen right there. We're all like that. The only hope we got is washing in the Word of God. Now you ladies... You ladies sit here and say, oh, what he's talking about is disgusting. Okay, you sit and watch them soap operas. A soap opera to a woman is the same thing as Playboy is to a man. Yes. Amen. Don't fuss at your husband for looking at Playboy if you watch the soap operas. That went over like a lead balloon. You know why? Because women are naturally drawn to that stuff like... But darling, I must go. No, don't leave me. But I'm... Oh, shut up, please. We're going... but to a woman, that's how the devil gets you girls. He plays on your emotion. He plays on your heart. Amen. I'm telling you, brother, you better listen. There's some times you better turn that TV off. You better learn to turn it off. Listen, them little old shows, them little old evening shows are nothing but suggestive little show putting in these little girls' minds. That's all I want to do is get him. And all I want to do is hug him. Hug him. And I want to... And that's all I want to do, brother, if you sit around and watch that stuff all the time. Say amen right there. That's right. That's right. And your body gets ahead of your mind. And you want to get married too quick. Listen, brother. You said, I just want to get married. I said, go get married. What are you going to do the other 23 hours a day? Fussing and fighting. Yeah. Or 23 and a half. Or 23 and 45 minutes. Say amen right there. Come on this evening. Come on, shiny light. Back me up. I'm telling you tonight, brother, if we don't learn, you say, Brother Danny, how are we going to help it? How are we going to help it, huh? We're living in a filthy society. You've got to read your Bible every day. Every day and pray. Every day and pray. Every day and pray. Right. I've had adults ask me a lot of times, they say, what's wrong? Listen, I ain't trying to tell you married people nothing. Between you and God and your husband and wife, what you do. Anything don't hurt you spiritually or physically, between you and God. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. We're living in a day when the battle is right here. They ain't tying us up rattlesnakes no more. They ain't letting dogs eat our guts and slicing our throats no more like they did in the Dark Ages. The battle is right here. Right here between your temples. Ditch dirty thoughts quick or they will ditch you. And then I want to say this. Commandment number 8. Pick the right friend to be picked for a friend. Pick the right friend to be picked for a friend. I've said it, and I've said it, and I've said it a million times, I reckon, to young people all over the United States. I have preached to literally thousands of teenagers and young people, and I'm telling you, I've seen it over and over and over. Whoever you run around with and hang around, that's who you're going to be like. It's a fact. It's a fact. Bible said, can two walk together except they be agreed? If you hang around people that do drugs, sooner or later, You're going to do drugs. You're not going to pull them up. They're going to pull you down. You're not going to pull them up. They're going to pull you down. You hear me? You say, well, I'm doing much and everything, but I'm trying to help him. You ain't going to help him. He's going to pull you down. You're not going to help her. She's going to pull you down. Amen. Pick the right friends to be picked for a friend. You hear me? You say, but I know girls that got pregnant, and instead of going to their mother or their pastor or their Sunday school teacher, you know who they'll go to? Kids they go to school with. What makes you think them girls you go to school with got any more sense than you do? The great wise ones. What do you think I should do? Listen, they're as dumb as you are. Maybe more. They're going to say, have an abortion. Have an abortion. You say, listen, go with me. You don't have to worry about your parents. Go with us Friday night. You think they're cool. You think they're trying to help you. Let me ask y'all something this evening. We got a big group of young people. Listen, folks. You know most churches tonight don't have a third of the young people we got here tonight. Thank God. Thank God. Amen? Thank God they're not here. Most of them are here because they want to be. Very few of them are made to be here tonight. Most of them are here because they want to be. And that's good. Let me ask y'all kids something here tonight. How many of you have had somebody at school try to get you to go somewhere or do something or be a part of something that was wrong? Try to get you to do something wrong. Raise your hand. Look at that. Look at that. Now there's the one you don't want to hang around. There's boys in prison tonight. These boys sitting over there at the high rise tonight that said, well, I won't hang around them. These are my buddies. And they wound up and, listen, there's kids in hell tonight. Your age burning in hell because they run around that crowd and they're scared what their friend's going to say about it. But I ain't going to hell for them. Nobody else. They can laugh at me, call me old fogey, whatever they want to call me. You're like, they ain't going to help you. Time they get through with you, you'll be worse. You remind me of that fellow, they said two of them was riding down the road on a motorcycle. And they was flying down the road on a motorcycle. And it was real cold. And it was cold, one of them, the one on the back car, turned his jacket around. You know, and zipped it up the back like that so he'd stay a little bit warmer, leather jacket. And they was flying down the road a little bit, they hit a tree and killed that boy driving just like that. And they worked with the other, and finally got him to the hospital, and they was both dead. And they asked him up there and said, what happened to him, boy? He said, you know, the one that was driving a motorcycle, he was dead, DOA, dead on arrival, dead on impact. And they said, you know, that second fellow was alive, but he was dead the time we got his head turned around, right? They killed him. They was trying to help him. That's where your friends at school are. That's where your friends at school are. Amen? Yeah, the great wise ones are really going to help you. They'll come over to my house and we're going to party Friday night. Yeah, we know how that goes. Somebody overdoses, cops get called, somebody gets in trouble, somebody gets put on probation. Most of you have heard about the murder that we had in Marion this week of a 21-year-old girl. I heard about it from a girl told me on the phone that I was in Ohio, and you know what? I don't know the situation, how terrible that is. How terrible! 17-year-old boy is now behind bars. 17! Just starting out his life. 17! Younger than some of you are sitting here tonight, and his life is ruined. Somewhere back there, that boy got the wrong crowd. He had the wrong influence. He thought that rapper was cool. He thought it was okay to kill or to steal money. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear me? You hear me, boys and girls? Pick the right friend to be picked for a friend. I'd rather not have no friends than to have to get drunk or smoke pot or do something wrong to have them. I'd rather not have them. Y'all listen to me? Nod your head. I'd rather not have no. You say, well, I'm just alone now. I ain't got no friends. You're better off without no friends. You know what kills me? Young people will break their neck trying to please that crowd they go to school with. And 2 days after you graduate, you'll never see half that crowd again. They don't care about you. I don't even know what happened to most of the people I went to school with. I still see a few of them. But I broke my neck to impress some of them in 11th and 12th grade. That was stupid. It don't matter. It don't matter if you're popular. It don't matter if you win Miss McDowell or Miss Freedom or Miss Highbright or what. Who cares? Gives a big hoot, brother. Life's more important than that. Put your sights on something that's higher, things that are nobler. Stand for God, and you'll be better off as time goes by. Pick the right friends to be picked for a friend. I tell you what you need to do. Get in the youth group. Go to camp with us. Don't let nothing stop you from going with the camp and stuff like that. There's some of you who didn't go last year, and we had one of the greatest camps that I've been in probably in 8 or 9 years, and you missed it. And you can never go get it, what we got there last year. See, every time the group, the church does something, arrange your life so that you can be in on it. Because one of these days, you're going to blow through here. And I will make sure I'm here when he does. Son, let me tell you something. The God of glory is going to just blow through this church one of these days. I mean, I know he's here, and I know, but you know what I'm talking about. Big time. And I don't want my kids at home or at a ball game or at the movies or something when God blows through the church. Brother, when the Holy Ghost falls at camp, I want my kids at camp. Amen. It all depends on who you hang around. Let me say number 9. Love God and always go to church. Love God and always go to church. Don't let your friends, don't let your boyfriend, don't let your girlfriend, don't let a job. You've heard me preach that message on 3 things that get a teenager out of the will of God. And that's true, brother. I need to preach it again for the youth rally. And one of them is getting a job. I mean, it gets Sundays, I'm going to get a job. I'm going to get a job. Why do you want a job? I want money. Why do you want money? I want to get me a car. I want to buy me some clothes. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. But you do not need a job. You listen to me? You parents can do what you want to, and I know sometimes it's have to, but I won't even let my girls get a job where they'd have to work on Sunday.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Church is more important. Say amen right there. Yep. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, and if yours do, that's between you and the Lord, and I'm not judging you, and I know sometimes people have to. My girl, one's back there, come to me before and said, Daddy, I want a job. And I said, well, if you could do it from 2 to 5 or something like that and put in part-time, but you're not going to get a job, it's going to keep you out of church. I said, here's what will happen. And I've been, listen. Y'all are one of my specialties. There's a lot of stuff I can't do, but I can do what I'm doing tonight. When I was up there in Ohio this week, there was a crowd of teenagers sitting at this table. Here's all these great men of God over here at the other table, fellowshipping and all of that, you know, and everything. I sat down with them great men of God, and I just kind of felt weird. I felt like I'm scared to talk to these guys. And the teenagers said, come here, Brother Danny. Sing Tom's Tell, Tom's Tell. I said, shh. They don't understand. But my heart was over there with them. It really was. It's always been like that. And some old preacher told me, they said, find out where your heart is, and that's what God wants you to do. And this is what God wants me to do. I'm as sure of it as I'm standing here. I know I can go to a strange church where I don't even know nobody. And by the end of the first, right, I'll have some teenage boys hang around me and make friends with them. Now, God just give me that one little thing that I can do. And I've seen this over and over and over and over and over. Here she comes. She's, I don't know, 16. She comes up here. Brother Danny! Brother Danny! Brother Danny! Guess what? What? I got a job! I got a job! I got a job! I got a job! I say, oh, I thought you'd be happy. No, I'm not happy. Why? Oh, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking I'm going to have to work on Sundays, but it's at McDonald's. It ain't at Applebee's or somewhere. I won't have to serve no beer and ain't rock music. It's at McDonald's. I said, oh, gosh. She said, but I thought you was happy. No, not happy. I know what you're thinking, and I've already talked to my manager, and I told him I was a Christian, and he said I only have to work one Sunday morning a month and one Sunday night. That's all I have to ever do. Isn't that cool? No. But why? And I say this. Here's why. Because that first weekend, they're going to train you. And that second weekend, they're going to train you. That's 2 Sundays out of church. That third weekend is your scheduled Sunday to work. That's 3. The fourth weekend, the sinner girls got out and got drunk last night, and they called in and didn't come in. So they called a good Christian girl because she didn't go out and get drunk. That's 4. And you mark it down. There ain't nobody in here, including me, Brother Roy Lee, Brother Derek, Jason, any of us. There ain't none of us can stay out of church 4 weeks and not get backslid. Lord, I'm in church every day of the week, and it takes all I can do to stay right with God. I've been trying to get right today. Don't sit there and look at me like that. Amen. if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're so far backslid you don't even know you're backslid. At least I ain't backslid so much I don't know I'm backslid. At least I know where I'm at. Amen? You can't stay out of church for a month and not get full of the devil. Don't take a job where you're going to have to miss church like it. Ain't worth it. Ain't worth it. You've heard me tell that story before. I went to steakhouse. I was coming down through here like this, trying to figure out what I wanted. And this girl says, "Can I help you, sir?" I say, "I ain't seen you in a while. Where you been, girl?" She said, "Hey, Brother Danny, how come you ain't been to church?" She said, "I have to work." Like, that makes it all right. Like, God's okay with that. And I said, "Why you got to work?" She said, "Because I have to pay for my car." I said, "Why you got to pay for your car?" "So I can get to work." Okay. Now look, sometimes I have to. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to throw no stones. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Listen, sometimes there's times when kids have to work to meet the bills, help mom out. I understand that. I'm not stupid. But if there's any way possible, fix your schedule around to where you don't have to miss the house of God. Love God and always go to church. I'm going to tell you something else. You know, one of the best ways you kids can stay right with God? Get involved in the church. You say, "What can I do?" Some of the best bus workers in any church are young people. You're bubbly. You got a personality. You relate to kids good. People come up to you. They talk good to you. You can. Some of y'all kids here this evening could fill up a bus if you wouldn't just let the devil. You say, "Well, it's my only day to sleep." You can go home and sleep all Saturday evening. You can go home and sleep all Sunday evening. Listen, we need bus workers. Brother Mike over here, there's Alicia. We're planning a big day for next Sunday. Big sunrise service. Big egg hunt. They could use some help. How about some of y'all coming out here? How about some of you adults? Listen, brother. Listen, get in the bus ministry. One of the greatest ways to stay around with God is get in the bus ministry. The bus ministry is the greatest tool and outreach arm that the Church of Jesus Christ has on earth in the United States. Ain't nothing like reaches people like our bus ministry does in this church or any other church in the United States. And you can do it. I mean, have you looked at some bus workers? Would you let your kids go with them? I'm just kidding. I mean, a big, strong man. And I thank God for our men. But listen, if some of you bright face, smile teenagers could use your personality, you can get them kids. You can love on them. I've seen it over and over and over. Vicki, can I use you for an illustration? Thank you. When Vicki first came to New Manna, her and this girl named Pam. I can't remember Pam's last name. Cheryl. That's right. Her and this girl named Pam, I think there's 18. I think. And the story went like this. There's 18, 17, maybe 17. But anyway, when they really got right, they were around 18. And I've used this illustration to help kids. And y'all listen to me. Well, they come up to me one Sunday, and they was like, "Some of y'all, if you really got right with God, set up front, open their Bible, just eat every word. Just every word the preacher says. Yeah, yeah, yeah." So they come up to me and they said, "Brother Danny, we want to do something. Brother Danny, we want to do something." I thought, well, oh my goodness, I mean, you know, what am I going to do? They can't teach the class. They just got church. I said, "I'll tell you what, we got a van out there. And this old van, it just ain't much. And the old boy's driving it up. I believe Donnie McKinney was driving it then, or Brainfield. And there's about four people on it every Sunday." And I said, "You girls, go out there and get some kids to ride that van." They said, "Okay." Took off out the door. And to be honest with you, I forgot about it. Tell you the truth, I forgot about it. The next Sunday come, I think the choir was coming in. They said, come here, preacher, come here. And I bent over like it, and they said, we had 16, we had 16, we had 16. I said, 16 what? They said, "We had 16 kids on the van." I said, "You did?" I said, "Cool, that's great, amen." They said, "Is that good?" I said, "Amen, go after it, girls." They didn't know about the tribulation. They didn't know about the Antichrist. They just said, "I want to do something." Listen, the best way to stay right with God is you get in that bus ministry and get a burden for these bus kids and all that. God will bless you. Amen. Buddy, I'll tell you what. The next Sunday, I believe it was next Sunday or two, they come in. I said, "Brother Danny, come here."
I said, what? They said, we had 32. I said, you had 32 people on that van? 15 passenger van, brother. Son, they was crammed in there like the Archies. I mean, they was going in, arms and legs sticking out, kids at the door like that. They said, is that good? I said, praise God! Just don't let the cops catch you. Amen. Listen, brother, I thank God for our men bus workers, our lady bus workers, but some of you teenagers, you want to do something for God? Get in the bus ministry! We use you Saturday morning. Y'all could help. You could help them organize that egg hunt. You could get on fire for God. It's like this. If you just quit thinking about yourself, 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 yourself all the time, and think, boy, I'm going to do something for God, for God, for God, then God's going to work everything else in your life. He'll send you the right mate. He'll do that. He'll work everything else. What does the Bible say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Your problem is you got it backwards. You want everything else first. You seek that first and forget that, and God will give you that. So they said, we want a bus. We bought them a little old bus. It wasn't but about 3 weeks. They come in one Sunday and said, we had 53. I said, hallelujah, amen. Ain't nothing. Listen, some of you teenagers here, you meet here Saturday morning, get one of these ladies to drive you, go down there and help Brother Mike and Alicia. They're on that route by themselves. And Gay's got to be gone for 2 weeks, and Brother Mike's got to drive the bus too. So let's get with it, amen? Look, some of us are not as young as you are. I went and visited my gang that I had this morning. I brought 9 with me this morning, my forerunner, and appreciate all y'all that helped me buy them dinner. They loved it. We had a great time. Well, yesterday, bus workers sometimes realize some of the kids are getting slack. And to reach a kid, you either got to be one or think like one. Down on their level. I tell them, don't say, boy, come to church. Get down near where they're at like this so you can look them in the eye. And say, listen, buddy, I got one named Lee. Old Lee's about that high. I said, Lee, please come tomorrow. I miss you, buddy. And I could tell for the last few Saturdays that I just... You know, you bus workers know what I'm talking about. It's just like, well, yeah, maybe. And you know they're not going to come. So I said yesterday, all right, I'm going to spend some time with these kids. And I thought, I need to go home and study. But I thought, no, I need to spend some time with these kids. I said, all right, let's do something here. And they're having a birthday party, and here come one of them on a four-wheeler. And one of them come around here on a four-wheeler, and he said, you all right, preacher? I said, yeah. And so I hopped on the back of that thing with my back to his back. He was driving. He was about 13. And I hopped on the back of it like this, you know. It's got that little thing where you, like a little luggage rack on there, steel. And I hopped on there like this. And I said, all right, let's go. He'll boom, man. He took off flying. And they was loving it. They was laughing. There's 10 or 12 kids in the yard. They said, yeah, and more we were going over hills and humps like this. And I got to thinking, what's this crazy nut wreck me? And flipped me over. And I said, now, sir! Sam, boy! And he was flying up over humps and everything. And we was going up like that, and the mama went and got a camera. She come out like that. She's going to take my picture. And I said, okay, Lord, you know I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for you, Lord. And boy, we got back safe and sound. And then I said, who wants to go to the mall? They said, we do. I said, let's go to the mall. Y'all know Nebo has a mall now? Yes, sir. No, it doesn't cheap about Nebo. Nebo has a mall. It's called Dollar General. It's nice, too. It's the Nebo Mall, amen. And 7 of them jumped in the car. And I had Corey's car. If I'd had my 4Runner, I took about 12. But I had that Volkswagen, and 7 of them piled in. I said, now look, we're going to the mall, y'all. Everybody can spend $1. I ain't got much money on me. I said, everybody can buy something for $1. And son, they went in that store, boom, like that. They was coming here. One of them had a little pocketbook. One had some makeup. One had a ball. Come out, it tickled them to death. And you know what? 9 of them got up this morning and come to the house of God. And we took them to eat today and got them.